Our prayer is toward God. And we believe that He will bless us according to His word. And it's a good chance for all of us to mingle the word with our faith, with a spirit of faith within us, and to gain the reality. Three days for three chapters. That's very good. Amen. Sometimes I thought too much is also not too good, because our capacity is not that great. It's not that big, right? How much can you eat in breakfast? Not too much, right? Oh, of course, enough, but not too much. Right. You cannot eat a whole loaf of bread, and 20 oranges, 10 cups of coffee. You can't do that, right? Can you? No, that's too much. That's not healthy for you. Spiritually, it's the same. Just right, every day we eat the Lord. Right. But if you don't eat, you cannot grow. So I encourage all the young people to eat the Word of God every day. It doesn't have to be that much, but you have to eat it into your heart. Mingle it with faith. Chew it. Right. Stefan said to the children, digestion starts with the chewing. That's right, if you don't chew, you just swallow up everything, you may have a problem. Yeah, and then to chew the cud. Every day you learn to digest the Word of God. It doesn't have to be much, but it has to be practiced, consistent, and every day. Now let's go to chapter 13. And at the very end of chapter 13, verse 23, know that our brother Timothy has been set free, with whom I shall see you if he comes shortly. Well, this verse shows us that the writer, who do you think he is? Guess. Definitely it's Paul. I think among the apostles, nobody knew the scriptures, the holy scriptures, so well like Paul. He studied under Gamaliel, and of course he was very zealous for God. And he was a scribe, a Pharisee. He said it himself. Right. He's a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He's a top Pharisee. He loved the Word, and he really desired to serve God. Right. But he didn't know Christ. That was a big problem until the Lord met him. And Timothy was one of his best young workers. He says, no one I have found, no one that is like-minded as he is than Timothy. So this verse definitely shows that this book is written by Paul. Why did I say that? Why did I start with the last verse? Why? Because it is the style of Paul's writing in the very last chapters towards the end of his epistles. He always shares something that is very practical in our daily life. Like the book of Ephesians, for example. Wow, he talks about the body of Christ. Wonderful, excellent vision so spiritual at the end. He says, husband, love your wives. Well, right? And wife, submit yourself to your husband. Children, obey your parents. In the Lord, and everything in the Lord. He talks about employees and employers. He talks about things that are very practical, because if Christ is not lived out in a very practical way in our daily living, that means there's no reality. You're not applying Christ. Right? Paul in Colossians says, do all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Very practical. Right. So here again, we can see in this very last chapter, he talks about things that are super practical. Very normal. In a sense, not very, quote-unquote, spiritual, and yet it is the spiritual reality, this wonderful faith exercised by the saints, and it's expressed through our daily living. This is amazing, right? Because, hey, if there's no reality in our daily living, what are we doing? What are we doing? So, I don't know if you appreciate the last chapter or not, but I really appreciate it. I really appreciate it. And it, remember, this is an epistle. Paul, I don't think he separated into 13 chapters when he was writing. I don't think Paul was thinking about chapters. You think, when you write a letter to somebody, you write chapter one and chapter two. I don't think Paul had this idea. Right. So you have to realize it is a continuation. It is a continuation of faith and of such a wonderful life in Zion. But Zion is very practical. Yeah, it's the city of the living God. It's a heavenly Jerusalem. Myriads of angels. Church of the firstborn, festal gathering. Right. Then we have to serve God acceptably and with reverence and godly fear. And how does it look like? What does it mean to serve God? Is it just doing something for God? Right. So the practicality is, let brotherly love continue. Amen. That means don't stop. He didn't say you don't have brotherly love. But he says, let brotherly love continue. Amen. You should have a sense of what Paul is feeling within him when he wrote that. Oh, if I would write it, I would be teaching, oh, love the brethren. But that is a very different attitude, right? A very different feeling when you say that. But let brotherly love continue. It means it's there. There is brotherly love. Don't say, oh, you don't have brotherly love. Now, from now on, after you listen to this message, love the brethren. Well, that is, oh, thank you very much, brother. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Right. Let brotherly love continue. I truly appreciate the spirit of Paul here. There's much for all of us to learn in the church life, and even in the family life. Yeah, even making announcements. We need to feel the heart of the saints. Feel the heart of the saints. Right. Do all things with love. This is the first thing he mentioned here. Why? Because it is most important. This is also the first thing that the Lord mentioned in the seven epistles. He was not happy because you have left your first love. Right. So love is wonderful. And Romans chapter 5, the first thing that the Holy Spirit, when he comes and fills you up, he pours out the love of God into our heart. Yeah. Right. So love is very important. I've seen many brothers, gifted brothers, yeah, really gifted and willing to go on. But one thing that is lacking, love. If you don't love, at the end you'll be ruling over the saints, telling the saints what to do, and if they didn't do it, I'll show you the door. And if the door is too far, I'll throw you out of the window. That is not good. No. Right. Any mistake, we already there pointing fingers. Right. There is no compassion. In Zion, although it is the city of the living God, and it is wonderful, and the King of Kings is there ruling, city of the great king. But you have to realize the king rules with love. Yes. Otherwise, at the end, there will be an empty throne. And he'll be the only one sitting there, nobody else. Even all the angels will run away. That's not good. And love is a wonderful thing. And it is also the very factor that God sent his only begotten Son. For God wanted to gain the world, so he sent his only begotten Son. Is that what it's written in John 3:16? What did he say now? Really? God so loved all of us, the people, mankind. You love mankind? Yeah. Throughout the years, I even have learned a little bit to love those who hate me. I'm still learning. To have no bitterness. Right? This love is wonderful. You cannot serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, without this continuing love. Yeah. This is so important, and John, in his epistles, finally tells us God is love. He's not only light. Yeah, we appreciate light. I heard so many people say, oh, I saw the light, oh, this light. Nobody saw this before, and we like to see light, but light without love is not that good. It's not balance. It's not balance. Right. So God is light in chapter 1, and then you go to chapter 3, God is love. Behold, what manner of love the Father has for us, that we should be called the sons of God. What manner of love? How do you assess the growth of the church? Knowledge, everybody reading the books every day and got full of knowledge, what will be the result of having so much knowledge? Puffed up. You'll be puffed up like a balloon. And you'll be so proud. If you go and read, and if you read 1 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul mentioned two things right in the very beginning of that chapter. Knowledge and love. Which one do you prefer? Choose. Knowledge or love? Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. So which one do you prefer? All these past years, I have not seen that knowledge really build up. At the end, it tore down. It really tore down. In the beginning, it was good, and we had love. But at the end, we got a big head. And love is gone. Love disappeared. And what happens? Without love, I don't care how much knowledge you have, it's not going to work. It will tear down. It will not build up. Same thing with the family. Right. Amen. May the Lord have mercy. Verse 1 is very good there. It's a continuation of how to serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Let brotherly love continue. It's good. Right. Amen. And do not forget to entertain. Now, don't understand the word entertainment just like today, your entertainment. No, I entertain you with TV, with movies, and with all these games and all that. Well, that's entertainment today. Is that a way you entertain your guests? Yeah. Of course, I don't mean we don't have to have such activities. But to entertain means you receive the guests with love, with care. You don't just, okay, come in and sit there and you go ahead and do your thing. And poor guest, yeah, just like the dog, just lock him up in the cage. That's the way I entertain Mercedes. Lock him up. Keep him there for 3 days. That makes him crazy. Makes her crazy. No, don't do that with the guests. There should be the fellowship, the care, and provided what is needed. Some activities, which is good. But we need to serve them with Christ, which is the main thing. And then, of course, some activities, right? This is normal. For by doing so, some have unknowingly received or entertained angels. Using Lot, for example, right? Knew that, hey, those two persons who are approaching are angels with wings and with a halo or something like that, and their faces are shining. Oh, the angels, they're flying, they're not even walking. Well, of course, if you see angels, you're like, oh, welcome. What about strangers, normal people who really come? They are very hospitable in those days. Suppose Lot says, oh, I don't know them, forget about them. I'm not gonna entertain them. Never saw them before. Would you do that to somebody you never saw before? Right. but they are people who have an open heart. They didn't know it was angels. But it turned out these are two who came to save them. Can you imagine that? What about Abraham, right? So, three person coming. Sarah, quickly, prepare something. There's some people coming here, right? But for us, we have to scrutinize them first. Who are you? Where did you come from? And what do you want from me? And what are you coming this way for? Yeah. We scrutinize everything. But never ask, are you angels or are you men? Meaning to say, if we have a loving heart, of course we cannot just open our door to accept everybody, right? We need to have some discernment. I'm sure those angels didn't look like homeless people who are drunk and taking drugs, and of course not. Right. You can see. You can discern. We need some discernment. Right. But we have a heart to receive guests at home. Right. And who knows? Maybe the Lord sent them. And definitely it is a gain. So this is the second thing. He didn't talk about, let the speaking brothers be prepared all the time for a good message. That is what we sing to serve God. You have been with me these few days, right? Do you see me preparing 10 hours in the Word? What does it mean? What does it mean? What should I say? I prepare a message. Do you see me doing that? No. But I pray for the saints. We all prayed. We pray the Lord will meet our needs. Pray that all of us will see something and we'll go on. We'll have a way to go on. Lord, show us. How should I know the way to go on? But He knows the way to go on. I don't have any notes. I don't have notes. Yeah, I just and the outline. Right. So we need to see. We need to know this wonderful speaking of the Lord in the book of Hebrews. And this is from Apostle Paul. I didn't think about the Apostle Paul until we were on the way. He was driving. Right. But this is really Paul's style. And we should learn from him. It's not good just to talk about what it means in the Bible and give a message so that everybody, are you clear? Clear. And then remember the prisoners. He didn't mean that the criminals, okay? He didn't mean the criminals, because today only the criminals are in prison. And even now, there's no more to let all the criminals go and then lock up the good people. It's the exact opposite today. But the prisoners in those days, Paul is talking about the martyrs, those who, for the sake of the testimony of Jesus, they were in prison. Whether you know them, you don't know them. But they are for the Lord. For the sake of the Lord, they were in prison. Right. And if you're in the Spirit, whether you know them, you don't know them, if they're suffering, you remember them in prayers. Keep them in your heart. These are the kind of citizen that dwells in Zion. Isn't that wonderful? Are you in Zion? Yeah. This is the kind of the way we serve our King in Zion. Remember the prisoners as if you're chained with them. Oh, they are in prison, but I'm enjoying life in my home. You have such a heart. Such a heart. These are men of faith. To have faith doesn't mean I believe, you know, to move mountains. I haven't seen any mountain moved yet. Somebody asked me, do you have the faith to move mountain? And he said, move the mountain. I said, well, if the Lord tells me to pray to move mountains, then I will pray and the mountain will move. But if the Lord didn't tell me, and I said, mountain be moved. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. But if God says it, and I believe it, and I do what He says, it will. Don't try your faith by walking in the Pacific Ocean, okay? You're going to drown because the Lord didn't tell you. Come, the Lord told people, Peter, come, walk. And he did walk. But then he looked left and right and saw the storm. And then he began to sink. Don't do anything the Lord didn't tell you, just to try out faith. Don't drink poison purposely because Mark says, well, these signs will follow you. If you drink poison, it will not hurt you. Well, some people in California, 40-some years ago, really in their meetings, they let poisonous snake run around the meeting to test your faith. The government at that time had to stop it and outlaw it because a few people died. It was in the newspaper. I won't go there to try it out, to see if I have faith or not. No. Faith is very closely connected to the living speaking of God to you. Yeah. So don't just believe anything. Right. Remember the prisoners as if you are chained with them, those who are mistreated. Since you yourselves are in the body also. What does it mean? That means you have the same physical body. Have you been suffering before? Have you ever suffered before? Because you have suffered, you have the same body. You don't have a super body like Superman. Have you ever had pain before? You suffered before. Then you should realize how other people feel when they suffer. They're being beaten, they're chained, when some days without food and water. How about that? Try it. You have the same kind of body. Try 10 days without food. Then you will know how it feels. We are living in such a good atmosphere and good times today. You have everything you need. What about feeling with those who don't have? So, remember the prisoners as if chained with them. Have compassion on them. Those who are sick, Lord, you pray for them. Lord, heal them. Right? Even you exercise your faith for them. How about that? Right? We have such a compassion for those who are suffering. Hey, is that very spiritual? Can you see the action? You know, people who are praying for you? People who felt what you feel? It takes a lot of faith. You pray for them. Intercede for them. Right? The Lord is interceding for us because He knew what it means to suffer. He sends your weakness. That's why in the book of Hebrews, He's a great heavenly high priest who always intercede for you. Why? Because He was a man. If He did not become a man and to live in the flesh like you and me, He will never understand why is He complaining about. Why? Timo, you should be stronger. Come on. We don't have understanding. If I was not a teenager before, I wouldn't understand these teenagers. I would say, why are you so silly? I was very silly myself. Maybe more silly than you. Then what do? You intercede for them. You help them. You understand them. Yeah. Because you were a man just like them. And the Lord, He became a man. Just like each one of us. This is why the description of the book in Hebrews was so precious. We only know, oh, He's the Son of God and was crucified and He died for us and praise the Lord, He rose again. that's what we know. But we didn't realize the reason why He went through all this suffering. And not just to be perfected, but to be perfected as a great heavenly high priest, that He will be able to save us. You cannot save someone whom you do not understand His problem and His suffering. Why? Right. So, these verses are so real in our Christian life of faith. Right. Knowing this Christ is very practical, very real. The Lord is so compassionate. The Lord is so understanding. The Lord even wept for Jerusalem. Yeah. The policeman, he doesn't understand. He only knows how to give you a ticket. That's it. Right. And he cannot help you. I've never been stopped by a policeman who gave me a good lecture and encouraged me to drive safely. Just give me a ticket, pay, and that's it. That's the law, right? That's the law. Amen. Since you yourself are subject to all the sufferings in your body. Yeah. Praise the Lord. And then verse 4, it talks about meetings. Everybody must function. In the meetings, everybody must function. Everyone must bring an offering. And goodness. I know that because I did that before. Many, many years ago. This is what we were taught. And don't wait for 1 second. Don't wait. You have to pray one prayer after another. If you wait for 1 or 2 seconds, it's dead. Oh, my goodness. Oh, we have to be ashamed of what we have done before. That's why, you know, many brothers say, oh, if it is quiet for 20 seconds, oh, you cannot stand it anymore. You're itching already to really say something, and you quickly jump in to pray. Why is that what the Lord says? Did the Lord rebuke Peter and the disciples when the Lord was praying, they were sleeping? Wake up! Hey, you, wake up! What are you doing? Did the Lord do that? But we would. Why are you sleeping in a meeting? Today I would tell the saints, it's better to sleep in a meeting than stay at home. So please come and sleep here. No, the Lord didn't care about all these things. He says marriage is honorable. It's honorable. Right. And that's what he says. Have you ever thought marriage is honorable? It's a happy day, right? What a happy day you got married. But hey, nobody thought it's honorable. It has to be respected. Right? In the household, husband and wife, the children, right? It has to be respected, full of respect for each other, full of love, full of care. Must be honorable. Among all. And the bed undefiled. But then there's a warning. Fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Remember this word. Because we all have the flesh. God's going to judge. These are very practical church life. You never thought that's the church life, is it? The church life I have learned decades ago is, yeah, and learn the doctrine. Come, repeat what I say. Yeah, repeat what I say. I'm going to see if you pay attention to my message. Huh? Come. Jasper, what did I say yesterday? Come and repeat it. My goodness. I think if I do that, you won't come to Fountain Valley ever again. No. Yeah, and then, you're right. And then coming to the conference at the very end, in the beginning, it's free. But then after a couple of years, it's $100 per person. Wow, Marina, would you come to the conference paying $100? You would rather go to that place there, right? And a few steps ahead, and that would be better spent. $100. Yeah, look, so many people went there. And they have to pay. Right. Lord Jesus, what have we done before? May the Lord forgive us and change us. Right. And verse 5. Now we have how many minutes to go? 5 minutes. Five minutes, that's right. Let your conduct, your manner of life be without covetousness, because covetousness is idolatry. If we have covetousness in our heart, then that will be our God, because you hold on to that. It will replace your love for God. That's why it says the love of money is a root of all evil. Today, all this fallen situation in the government, it's because of money. And they have a saying, follow the money. You will know the very source of evil. It will lead you to the source of evil. Yeah. People were corrupted through covetousness, coveting power, coveting position, coveting money, coveting things. Right. You're not content. Contented. What do you say? Contented. Oh, you're not content. I'm sorry. Yeah. All my languages are mixed up. I'm sorry. Right. With what you have. It has to be better, nicer. It has to be more and more and then more. And where is the depths? You will not, your heart, the covetousness, it has no bottom. It's bottomless. You're right, it's a bottomless pit. Yeah. Without covetousness, be content with such things as you have. We should be already very thankful with what we have. Yeah, really, learn this. Contentment. Paul says, godliness with contentment is great gain because you will gain Christ. Amen. You may not gain so many things, but you gain Christ. Yeah. Oh, Paul was really amazing. Look what Paul wrote to Timothy. It's exactly like this. Very practical. Very practical. Right. Yeah. Amen. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself had said, God said it himself, I will never leave you nor forsake you. God knows what you need. And that's why we thank God for every meal that is on the table. When I was young, my mother always told us children, or she had 13 children, okay, a lot of children. And we children are very choosy when it comes to eating. And everybody wants to have the best part. Can you imagine 13 children? The best part. I always joke with the kids. I'll leave you the best part, and it's the worst part. It's the paper part of Bao's. Tear out the paper. Here's the best part for you. And now they learn, Grandpa, I'll give you the best part. I'm getting the same treatment. I will never leave you nor forsake you. We should be very thankful for everything that God has given us. We think we earned it, but where did your job come from? Yeah. That's right. So, learn to share. Remember the poor. Remember the needy. Don't forget them. Yeah. It says here, continue, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That means the Lord will always take care of our needs. Just like the parents, always taking care of the children's need, right? Yeah, I'm very thankful to my parents. Yeah. Because all of our needs, the Lord used the parents, loving parents, to take care of the children. Right. Don't think your friends are better. I told my children at that time, if you're sick, who's going to take care of you? Your best friend? your best friend cook for you 3 meals a day. They just like to play with you. That's all. Have a good time with you. If you need a pair of shoes, ask your good friend to buy a pair of shoes for you. How about that, Elizabeth? Tell your good friend, yeah. I need another pair of shoes. Get me one. You think they'll do it? So who is better, your parents or your best friend? You should appreciate. Until this very day, I even dream of my parents. I'm very thankful to God for giving me such parents. Right? Because God will never leave us nor forsake us, just like the parents will never leave you nor forsake you. Yeah. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Praise the Lord. We'll stop here.